Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
For the first time ever, tearless onions, you've probably read about this in the last few weeks, they've gone on sale now in the UK. Described by the manufacturers, sunions by the way is what they're called, a new type of onion that grows sweeter every day, and unlike regular cooking onions, they cause no tears when cut. The game-changing onion, by the way, is the result of 30 years of research and development grown through an all-natural crossbreeding programme. Of course it is. While many cooks will rejoice that their days of crying while cutting onions may soon be a thing of the past, will this food trend be the toast of the town? Or will it barely cut the mustard? Here to spill the beans, okay, I'll stop, on some of the food trends that have taken the world and Ireland by storm is Kai Head Chief, Jess Murphy is main sort of chef person, isn't that right? Hold on, I think you've been on before with this. Jess, how you doing? Are you all right?
Good afternoon, Dave. Yeah, you're dead on. Yep, head chief, that's me.
Okay, so let's take a look at this. How are you feeling, by the way, about the lifting of restrictions from a hospitality standpoint? I mean, are you currently recovering from an especially busy Saturday night, for instance?
Oh, yeah. No, it's absolutely amazing. And just the feedback, you know, from everybody wanting to come out is amazing too. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, I'm a bit gobsmacked about it at the moment because, you know, we've been like slowly plodding along and next minute, boom, you know, just all that happens, you know, all of a sudden. Like, so.
Do you know something? It happened all of a sudden. So were you ready in terms of supplies and in terms of people who work with you?
Hey, listen, Dave, I was born ready.
We were absolutely
ready for it. I mean, you know, everything's pretty prepared in Kai every day. So it was just an add-on order to one or two things and that was it. And we got the ball rolling.
Right. And did anybody order any tearless onions?
No tearless onions.
God, okay. Well, listen, this isn't the first time, by the way, we've seen a vegetable crossbred to create something new. Let's go back. There are other ones, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the graphing and the crossbreeding of I suppose, everything, every vegetable and fruit known to man has been the thing for a very long time. I mean, the broccoli was made famous by the Broccolini family, which was an Italian family. And then therefore they liked the middle of the broccoli and then suddenly we got kohlrabi. So, you know, it's been happening for a long time. Same with the apples and everything like that. So, you know, it's nothing new to me and there's always been a milder onion around. So the tearless onion, is it a marketing thing? I don't know because there's been mild onions around for a long time.
When you said kohlrabi, what, is that a cabbage or something? Is it? No?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, the middle of the broccoli, you know how we don't throw that out anymore because we're like super sustainable and we hate waste. So we steam that and then we eat it. So it's the same flavor of the middle of the middle of a broccoli stalk.
I see. What about milk, by the way? Is potato milk a big thing for 22?
No, absolutely. Cow's milk is back with a vengeance, just like the Crocs.
All right. You know, great.
It's really, really exciting. See, what we're finding in, we're seeing across the board in New York, and I heard John McKenna actually speaking about it at a food festival, is that cow's milk, grass-fed cow's milk, is becoming the number one selling milk in the States.
What about here?
Well, sure, like, we're back to basics here as well. I think... slowly, I mean, we started with soy milk and then soy milk went out and then we started with almond milk and then almond milk went out. Well, before almond, there was low-fat milk, remember? Which when I was a kid, low-fat milk used to get dumped on fields because it was had no value. Milk's back. Full-fat milk is back with a bang.
Do you know, when we're talking about other food fads, what about actual trends? I mean, are many sort of new trends being developed with COVID in mind?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can see it like, you can see it with all the laminated bakeries or the laminated pastry, like Bread 41 is a fabulous example of the laminated pastry. And then I think bagels are back as well. I've been seeing such a resurgence of bagels being back.
So
quite
hold on. Next you're going to tell me like the bell bottoms are back and lapels are back, etc. So
like
basically,
they are.
Yeah, okay. So
the
therefore,
is it
just coming full circle then? Like, and you know, a new generation doing the stuff that they were doing
in
the
like
70s
a whole new
and 80s.
Of chefs, it's like a whole new generation of chefs. You know, like I'm 42, and one of our youngest chefs would be 23, and they're like walking in singing like Neil Young songs, and you're like, hey man, I love that song. Have you listened to the whole album? And they look at you like you're an alien, like you don't know what you're talking about. You've never heard it.
Right. So I'm going to ask you for a few things then. I was going to ask you about pesto eggs, but I'd rather ask you about laminated pastry that you've mentioned. What's that?
Oh, laminated pastry is such a beautiful, beautiful object. So it's basically pastry. Everyone in the universe loves pastry. So it's pastry rolled with a thin layer of butter, and then pastry goes on top of it again, and it just, you repeat that process. Right?
Well, so yeah, I'm listening. Go on.
So it just lifts up. It's like a croissant. Like, if you see all those layers in a croissant, that's like just pastry layered in between butter.
Okay. And the milk that you mentioned earlier on, you know, like the soy, the almond, the oat milk, etc., and the whole milk, the whole thing is one versus the other. The dairy product that I haven't mentioned, butter. Tell me about that. There's lots of different types come and go, and butter is one, isn't it?
Okay, so I started chefing like in the early, early 90s. So this is when Asian fusion was huge.
Chefing, is that a word? Yeah, you started chefing.
Well, chefing, cooking, cooking in the 90s. I don't know. Maybe I'm just making it up.
Yeah. Okay.
But like I started cooking in the 90s where like everything was bad, you know, like everything, oil was great. You know, everybody used olive oil for everything, or vegetable oil, or granola oil. And then we moved on to the late 90s, early 2000s, where we discovered, I can't believe it's not butter, butter flavoured.
Yeah, but doesn't the flour and margarine and dairy go with real butter? Is there a difference between them all? There is a big difference.
Oh, no, 100%. Like, we have the best butter in the actual whole entire world.
We being because, Ireland?
Yes.
All right.
Of course. I'm an Irish citizen now, Dave. Did you not read
No, I thought you meant your restaurant. I didn't know what you're on.
My restaurant's Irish. Yeah, of course it is.
Okay.
But Irish butter is the best butter in the world because it's predominantly grass-fed, and that's where it's at.
Well, you know, not only have we seen kind of many dairy alternatives, vegan alternative foods, they're really coming to the fore of late, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, it's kind of controversial. It is kind of being quite popular, but, you know, these factory-made meats.
Yeah, I mean, the meat alternatives, I mean, we're not exactly fully up to date on those, are we?
No, and like what gets me is I was a vegetarian for 8 years, so I can speak on behalf of myself, of experience, that, you know, like every now and then you craved that bacon flavor. And so now you have like vegetarian bacon strips, but what are they made out of?
Are you asking me?
there's no like, where are they made, and where do the bits that make them come from? So for me, this kind of like the traceability part is quite hard.
The traceability path. Okay, so food trends over the years then in general influenced by different, I presume, cooking technology as well?
Oh, absolutely. So you have the sous vide.
You have the what?
So you have a sous vide, which is basically like taking a really nice hot long bath wrapped in cling film, and you bob up and down there for like 3 hours, 4 hours. You have a circular water thing that spins you around, and you cook in a plastic bag, basically.
Right. Okay. Yes. Fair enough. Yeah.
So
okay.
I mean, it was very, very popular in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
So now we've gone full circle because I think the main trend with all the other trends is sustainability, but at the moment we're kind of finding our way between greenwashing and kind of using our own cop on. So now flame is the thing. So now every restaurant we know of cooks with fire, which is, I think, fabulous.
But what about, you know, the whole idea of the old carbon neutrality sort of lark, or at least route, I should say. Is that a big new trend for restaurants, or have you been up to date all the way?
Well, yeah. I mean, like we recently last year got a Michelin Green Star for our sustainability practices, but it's a trend, but it's something that we all have to do anyway. So, you know, it's really something that everybody should be looking at.
And also, if we're talking about food trends, what about the influence of diet fads?
Oh, yes. Well, I think, when you look at Instagram, the whole clean eating phase is gone because it was actually quite dangerous. I mean, diet fads are fine. You know, for me, it's just, I don't know, it's kind of hard not to take everybody out in the diet industry. But yeah, I don't believe in a diet thing. I believe in, you know, using your own brain. There's no such thing. I mean, obviously a diet is a diet, but Yeah.
And just speaking of your own brain, did you use that to go vegan and then to go not vegan?
Sorry?
Your decision to go vegan for 8 years, you mentioned earlier on, and then you said no.
My decision was not knowing where food was coming from.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I've killed pigs, I've killed animals, I grew up on a farm in New Zealand in the middle of nowhere. So my whole process for it was I didn't know where all these animals were coming from, therefore why should I buy them? I don't trust it.
Is there loads more stuff, people who've worked in your industry who now want to kind of stay in the food industry but are going out on their own and that? So, you know, ex-hospitality staff, if you like. Is there lots of new stuff coming from these people in terms of, you know, I mightn't have been able to do it where I was working, but I can do it now because I'm on my own?
Oh, well, like as a new business is starting up? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've obviously, talking about trends, we've obviously hit trend peak peanut butter in the whole of Ireland. I mean, we've got Harry's peanut butter, which is absolutely stunning. We've got that getting made in Dublin, and then in the middle of Tipperary, we have Nutshed. And it's all just fabulous peanut butter. But it's kind of weird how like Irish people just discovered peanut butter in the last 2 years, and it's become such a trend.
I love peanuts. Hate peanut butter. Anyway,
really?
Explain me to that. Okay, listen, another thing that was big, particularly in Ireland in the noughties, was the panini. Explain me to that one now.
Oh, the panini has a special place in my own heart. Like, so I was 16 and I was washing dishes in New Zealand, and somebody came running in and they were like, the cafe down the road is doing these toasted sandwich things and it's called a panini. And my mind was blown.
As in, you liked it?
Just, it had a foreign name.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was still a toasted sandwich, but it had a fancy name. They were putting stuff in it like basil pesto. No one had heard of basil pesto before Jamie Oliver came on television. And then it had mozzarella in. I don't know how good the mozzarella was at the time. I'd say it was, you know. Well, anyway, it had a stretchier cheese. So then we had, like, Monica from Friends making sun-dried tomato pesto famous. So that went into the panini as well. And that's when we all discovered Rocket. So the panini was the mother of all inventions. And then all these other little baby things stemmed from the panini.
Like what?
Like sun-dried tomato pesto, the Caprese salad, which was around for a long time. But we in the 90s just discovered it because I'd say Ireland was very like New Zealand, you know, like, all that food was still very foreign. Like, I remember garlic bread coming into the country and just being mind-blowing.
Do you know, I just thought of one, because I was on the set of a movie in the mid-90s. Was it called Space Truckers? It was made in Ireland anyway, with Charles Dance and a few others. And it was all kind of futuristic kind of thing in space. Dennis Hopper actually was in it. And they had certain things. I remember going to this room and there was a full table of square tomatoes. they were kind of manufactured for the movie as though this is the future. Do they have square tomatoes so they don't kind of roll off a table? That was the whole point, I think.
Okay, well, there's an animal that, you know, kind of anyway works with squares, but I can't mention that on the radio. Then anyway, you can actually grow tomatoes in a square by like putting them in a box. And if you Google or go on the super web and you look at anything in Japan, they do all sorts of shapes. They do square melons. They do like triangle melons.
Actually, here's a text here. Like the avocado, like the incredible kind of smashed avocado on toast for breakfast kind of craze. Or was there even a craze? I presume there was. Is there still, you know, is it still happening?
Oh, yeah. Well, the avocado on toast got blamed for millennials not being able to buy houses. Like that was a huge thing. So, I mean, I grew up with avocados in my backyard, so that was kind of cool with me. But then we started going into the dirty business of avocado growing, and then suddenly we're funding Mexican drug cartels by buying avocados that are from Mexico in the middle of winter. And, you know, it's a bit of the avocado business is a bit of a dirty business.
And, you know, yeah, so, I mean, absolutely, there's been enough written about that, all right. What about the TikTok influence? I mean, is this, getting back to what we were talking about earlier on, is this one of the things that, what was in the 70s and 80s now is to a new generation? And you can sort of say, well, look, that's TikTok's fault.
Oh, yeah, like, I mean, TikTok was the, remember the feta pasta? That was last year, wasn't it? Last February. So a lady in Finland decided to celebrate something like Finnish Cheese Day. It was some bizarre story like that. Anyway, so she found the cheese, and anyway, the cheese happened to be feta. So she baked it with tomatoes and everything like that, then mashed it up, then mixed in pasta. Do you remember that trend?
It must have passed me by. No.
Okay, well, you need to log back onto TikTok.
Okay, yeah.
And I'll send you the details.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, and so this became the super duper phenomenon, but it ended up coming from Finland, from all places. So TikTok is just that, like, extra thing to put yourself out there.
All right, I'm just checking it out here on the sort of international superhighway. Okay, yes, I see it there.
Yeah.
It is there, right? Yeah. So, like, you know, the food trends that are specifically Irish, are you seeing any?
Food trends that are Irish. I mean, seaweed, which is, I mean, it's an age-old thing, like everything. Seaweed is a big trend. I mean, at the moment, we're really getting into our kombuchas. We're getting into our water kefirs, all our fermented drinks, all our fermented vegetables. Yeah, so that's really kicking off in Ireland now.
And what about desserts, baked goods, all that stuff?
Well, I mean, like, there's a bakery opening in every town, which is, like, thank God. Bakery happening in every little town across Ireland. I mean, it's really exciting. Like, I was at Sullivan's grocer out in Uachtaráid on the way out to Connemara this morning, and they've got their own sourdough, and it's a teeny tiny shop. You know, that all that is, like, amazing to see. And then we have, like, Riot Rye, which is doing, like, bakery courses in the middle of Clock Jordan and Tipperary. You know, all these things are popping up, which is fantastic for the food culture in Ireland.
Well, then, finally, what's happening with you in terms of, like, you know, being head chief, as I said earlier on, at the Kai restaurant? Just tell me, like, in terms of what you think people might be asking. I mean, with so much time when they weren't able to be there, will they be now asking for the feta pasta, or was that so 2021?
Oh, no, that's gone, Dave.
Oh, it's gone, it's right.
Completely
okay.
Gone.
Yeah, okay.
That's gone with the second release of the Crocs, you know?
All right, okay, fair enough. So what do you think?
Gone.
Like, I mean, have they been educated in something over the last year or so that you don't necessarily, that you're trying to wonder, like, what are they going to ask for now that we're open?
Well, one thing I really love about, like, being open again is people are so grateful because they actually had to cook for themselves and do 10 loads of dishwashers, dishwashers worth of dishes every day. So, but things that I see that are going to, like, start going on trend is definitely breads, definitely kombuchas, definitely, you know, loads of raw milk, loads of yogurt. I mean, you saw the reaction from the, is it Glenisk factory when they had the fire?
Yeah,
Glenisk. Yeah. So, you know, the fact that we're really searching for really, really good premium, like, dairy, which is fabulous. And then obviously all the sustainable meats like free range chicken, free range pork, all that kind of stuff. I think, you know, sustainability being at the back of and forward of everybody's food choice, I think, which would be the people are looking for that. That's going to be the next food trend.
All right. Well, listen, Jess Murphy, head chef at Kai Gobbo. Just finally, by the way, it's about what, 4 minutes to two now on the Sunday afternoon. Are you open now?
No, we're actually closed. We close Sunday and Mondays.
Oh, right. Okay. So you're getting ready for a big one from Tuesday on, is that it?
So we're getting ready for a big one. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had a lot of staff off, like, because of COVID. Everybody's just had their second vaccination. We have a really young crew, like everybody does. So, yeah, everyone, you know, it's just like a little patience for us to get on our feet again across the board for the hospitality industry. And we'll be back at it, like.
Okay, well, listen, back at it, onwards and upwards, and good luck with it all. Jess, thanks a million for taking the call this afternoon.
Brilliant.
On the programme.
Thanks,
all right, good luck.
Okay,
take it
bye-bye.
Easy. Bye.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.